Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Once, many years ago, in a little village by the sea, there lived a young man named Johnny Lingo. Johnny was handsome and hardworking, and he came from a wealthy family. As Johnny grew older, he became a very eligible bachelor. All the young ladies in the town set their eyes on Johnny. It became quite a topic of conversation amongst the women of the town. Who would Johnny Lingo marry? As the years went by, the excitement grew. In another village on the other side of the river lived an ordinary girl named Lisa. She was nothing very special. Although she had a quiet and pleasant disposition, she was not considered very beautiful. She was humble and shy and mostly kept to her family compound. It was expected one day that someone would offer to marry Lisa, but it didn't seem likely for it to be anyone of much consequence. And surely, no one expected Johnny Lingo to take an interest in Lisa. So imagine the shock of the two villages when Johnny declared his intention to marry Lisa. Everyone was surprised. How could such an eligible bachelor take an interest in such an ordinary girl? Some young men in town even joked that rather than Johnny paying the bride price, Lisa's father should pay Johnny to marry her. Now, in those days, the most valuable thing in that village was a cow. Most of the young men in town would agree to give one cow to the father of the girl he wanted to marry as a bride price. Occasionally, if the girl was very beautiful, a father would demand two cows. The record set in that village had been three cows. Well, the great day came, and Johnny went to meet Lisa's father and family. It seemed like the whole village had gathered to witness the scene. Would Lisa's father even demand a cow? Would Johnny offer something less? The moment came when Lisa's father started the bargaining. "I want one cow," he demanded. Johnny stood and spoke loud and clear. "I would never give one cow for your daughter." The whole crowd gasped in surprise, as it seemed Johnny had insulted Lisa and her father. But the crowd was even more surprised when they heard what Johnny said next. "Lisa is far more valuable than only one cow. I must treat you fairly and offer you a bride price more suitable for her value. I offer eight cows for Lisa." Eight cows. The crowd was shocked. Lisa's father was shocked. Everyone started talking at once, and yet no one knew what to say. Had Johnny lost his mind? Inside her room, Lisa heard Johnny's offer. A chill went up and down her spine, and she gasped in surprise. Could it be true? Had she heard correctly? Johnny Lingo, the most eligible bachelor in the whole region, had offered eight cows to her father? She could barely believe it. She could barely breathe. What could he possibly be thinking? But it was true. Johnny offered eight cows, and Lisa's father accepted. The deal was made, and the newly married couple set off across the river to Johnny's home. 6 months went by, and no one in Lisa's village had seen the new couple since that day. Then one day, a canoe came floating across from Johnny's village. Inside the canoe sat Johnny, and with him was the most beautiful young woman anyone had seen. She stepped out of the canoe and walked gracefully like a queen toward Lisa's family compound. She seemed to float on the air, and everyone that saw her stopped and stared. Everybody came running from their homes, but nobody noticed Johnny. All eyes were on the young lady with him. She was a vision of loveliness. She was poised, warm, friendly, and confident. The beautiful young lady smiled and greeted all who passed by. At first, no one knew who this beautiful woman was, but when she spoke, they suddenly realized this was Lisa. The ordinary girl had become a beautiful queen. Lisa had been transformed into the most amazing, the most graceful woman. How did this happen? How could this be? At the end of the day, as Johnny and Lisa were preparing to return to their home, one of Johnny's longtime friends pulled him aside and said, "I want to know the secret of this amazing transformation in Lisa. How did it happen?" Johnny said, "I will tell you. From the time Lisa was born, she had been treated as though she was not worth very much. She had begun to believe that about herself. But I announced to the community that she was an 8-cow wife, and I have treated her just that way. She's become that vision of herself that she sees every day in my eyes. You see, when Johnny paid such a high price for Lisa, it opened her eyes to see her value as never before. When Lisa realized that such a wonderful, handsome man would pay so dearly for her, she was transformed. She began to live and act like the valuable woman she was. She began to live and act like a woman worth 8 cows. She saw herself through Johnny's eyes, and she was transformed. Friends, the Bible says you are the apple of God's eye. And if you see yourself in his eyes as he sees you, it will change you. For 2,000 years ago, a great price was paid for you. The precious Lamb of God gave the highest price possible. He shed his blood to purchase your redemption. And now he's given you a great destiny. He's invested in you because a great calling rests on you. When the knowledge of that sinks into your heart, it will change your life. When you see yourself through God's eyes, it will change your view of the Christian life. It will change the way you live. You may appear to be nothing to others, but you are a prized possession to Jesus. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he's purchased you with his own blood so that you can become the person he destined you to be. He's redeemed you so that you can arise and be the light of the world. He saved you so that you can become the masterpiece he created you to be. He's invested his love into you so that you can be his bride, his partner on the throne, his victorious child. That's the powerful truth in our sermon today titled, You Are an Overcomer. We're going to discover the amazing truth of how God sees us and the victory that is ours when we walk with him. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, who paid the highest price to ransom us. Lord, we come today and ask that you would once again open our eyes to see our lives as you see us, to grasp a hold of our identity in Christ. Remove the lies, remove the barriers, remove the fog and the veil from our mind, and let us see as you see that we are a masterpiece chosen by you to be your created, loved, destined child. We submit to you right now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes and to give us the grace to obey the truth you reveal to us today. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I invite you today to join your faith with mine. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. It's great to have you with me today as we come to the conclusion of our sermon series titled Masterpiece. For the last 6 weeks, we've been learning the amazing truths from God's Word about our identity in Christ. And here's the good news for all of us. When you see yourself as God sees you, it will change your life. When you realize that you are his masterpiece, you'll begin to live life the way God planned for you to live. Now, if you happen to have missed any of the sermons in this series, I want to encourage you to visit my YouTube channel today and catch up on the great messages available for you from the past few weeks. Just go to YouTube and find me at Pastor Richard C. Whitcomb, and be sure to subscribe to my channel and click the bell to receive notifications when I post new content. As we receive the last message in this series today, I want to leave you with one final truth about your identity in Christ. It's a truth that will help you live the life God has planned for you. It's a truth that will allow God to use your life for his glory and his purposes. And it's a truth that will result in victory in every area of your life. For the fact is, you are an overcomer. And when you get that truth deep into your life, you'll walk in victory every day in every way. That's what we can learn from our scripture text for today. Our text is taken from three verses found in Romans chapter 8. It's on your sermon notes and it's on your screen. But I believe God's word should also be in our hearts and on our lips. So I'm inviting everybody to join me in reading God's word out loud right now. Let's confess it and declare it with faith. Are you ready? Here we go. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody shout, amen. Just take a moment right now with me and think about these powerful words from God. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. When we walk with God, we are victorious in every aspect of life. In the face of every opposition and every difficulty, we are overcomers. And hidden in these three verses are the keys to why we will always overcome. So let's break down these verses today and discover three reasons you are an overcomer. And here's the first reason you're an overcomer. You are an overcomer because God is for you. Just say, God is for me. Listen again to what the Word of God tells us in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And you are an overcomer because God is for you. And when God is for you, nobody can stand against you. When God is for you, no power in heaven or on earth or under the earth can prevail against you. For the fact is, the God who is for you is God Almighty. That's exactly how God describes himself. In Genesis 17:1, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. So God introduces himself to Abraham and to us. He tells us his name is El Shaddai, which means the Almighty God. And that means he rules and reigns over all. His power is greater than any other power. He is the sovereign Lord, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The God that is for you is the eternal God, the everlasting God, the God who has no beginning and no end. The God that is for you is the final authority for everything in life. And when this God, the eternal God, the Almighty God, is for you, he always has the final say. This truth reminds me of the story of a referee and a football match. Once during a very tense football match, the referee blew his whistle and called a foul on one of the star players from the home team. Well, when the referee called a foul, the whole crowd booed with sharp disapproval at the call. Everyone in the stadium was shouting at the referee because they didn't like his call. The player who committed the offense started to argue with the referee. He turned to the referee with disdain and said, there's 40,000 people here who say you're wrong. To which the referee replied, it may be that everyone in this stadium disagrees with me, but the fact is, my opinion is the only opinion that counts. Friends, if you have the referee on your side, the call will always go your way because the referee has the final say. And that's how it is for us as children of God. If you have God on your side, the call will always go your way because God has the final say. The only voice that matters is the voice of God. When God is for you, everyone may be against you, but God and you win. God plus you is a majority. For you see, the God who is for you is above everything else. Psalm 95, 3-5 says, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. God is above all gods. There's no spiritual power greater than Jehovah. He's above all earthly elements. He holds the world in his hands. He made everything and he owns everything, and everything is under God's command. But that's not all. When God is for you, then you will always win, because not only is God Almighty, he's also God all loving. He cares about you. And because he is for you, he uses his power to help you. He uses his great might to rescue you and deliver you. That's why Deuteronomy 33, 26 and 27 says, "There is no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to help you, across the skies in majestic splendor. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you." And friend, right now, God is riding across the heavens to help you. He is your refuge. His everlasting arms are under you. He comes to deliver you. He has his power available for you. He is your strength, your shelter, and your protection. And he surrounds you with his almighty power. That's the lesson we can learn from my good friend, Steve Harrison. Steve and I were evangelists in the USA for many years before we both became missionaries. I ended up here in West Africa, but Steve became a missionary to Mexico. One day, Steve was driving along the road in a rural area when a gang of armed robbers stopped his vehicle. They pointed their guns at his head and told him they were surely going to kill him dead. There was no explanation for their actions, and no amount of reasoning could convince them to let him live. Facing the barrel of a gun, with no weapons and no help around, it seemed as if Steve was doomed. But Steve serves the God who rides across the heavens to help his children. And Steve started praying, and God started moving. As the armed robbers prepared to shoot and kill Steve, suddenly, without any explanation, one of the gang members started begging for Steve's life. "I can see that he's a good man. This is a man of God," the gang member said. "Let him go. Let him live." And then suddenly, without any further action, the entire gang got into their vehicles and sped away without firing a shot. Miraculously, Steve's life was spared. Today, he's still in ministry, reaching the lost and proclaiming the power of Jesus. For you see, friends, when God is for you, no man can stand against you. When God is for you, no weapon can prevail against you. When God is for you, he uses his almighty power to rescue you. He rides across the heaven to help you. For you see, God's mighty power isn't just for display. God doesn't store up his power just to keep it for a rainy day. God uses his power for us. He uses his power to deliver us, to rescue us, and to bring us victory. That's why God the Father sent Jesus. He sent him from heaven to earth to show that his almighty power is not just for display, not just for God's glory, it's for us. It's to help us. You are an overcomer because the God of all power is for you, and he uses his power to help you. That's what Jesus came to show us. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, somebody say whatever, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Somebody shout all. For you see, every sickness had to bow. Every demon had to bow. Every problem had to bow. For Jesus came not just to show us the power of God, but to show us the power of God for us. And his power isn't just in the natural realm. His power just doesn't give us healing and provision. Jesus came to show us that God has power over every demon and over Satan himself. For he said in Matthew 12, 28 and 29, "If I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. And that's why you are an overcomer. You're an overcomer because this Jesus who is for you has power over all the power of the enemy. And it's still the same today. This same Jesus rules and reigns over all. For Philippians 2, 9 to 11 tells us, therefore God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the Jesus who is for you. That's the God who is for you. The Almighty God, the great God, the overall God. He is the sickness healing, demon chasing, death conquering God. That's the God who is for you. And you are an overcomer because if this God is for us, then nobody can stand against us. But not only is God for you, he's also with you. And that brings us to our second truth today. You are an overcomer because God is with you. Just say, God is with me. Listen to what the next verse in our text tells us. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And in that simple verse, we get our second key to victory. God is not only for us, he is also with us. He doesn't leave us. And when we are inseparable from Christ, we become invincible in Christ. See, if God was for you but was not always available, then we would be in trouble from time to time. We'd be okay when God was around, but in danger when he left. But our God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Listen to what the Lord tells us in Hebrews 13:5. God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And that's why this verse tells us that we cannot be separated from the love of Christ. God is for us and God is with us. And when we know that God is with us, we know we are overcomers. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. I am invincible when I am inseparable from God. When he lives in me, I have what he has. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. In other words, when Christ is in you, you have what he has. His victory is your victory. And you will always overcome when you are united with Jesus. In fact, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you manifest victory. The closer you stay to Christ, the more you overcome. That's why it's so important that you don't focus on the battle as much as you focus on belonging to Jesus. Don't concentrate on your enemy. Concentrate on drawing near to God. Give yourself completely to Jesus, and he will give himself completely to you. Once upon a time, a man had a dream. In his dream, he was at home when the devil came and knocked on his door. When the man went and opened the door to his house, the devil came in and beat the man up. Then the man woke up from his dream. When the man woke up, he went to his knees and started praying, oh Lord Jesus, the devil came and beat me up last night. Why didn't you come and rescue me? Why didn't you help me and deliver me? Then the Lord replied to the man, I only come in where I am invited. You never asked me into your life, so I'm not there to protect you. Invite me into your heart, and I will always deliver you. So the man prayed and asked Jesus into his life, and Christ came in. But the man only wanted Jesus in one small part of his life. He still wanted to keep control over most of his affairs. So he didn't yield himself completely to Jesus. The man only gave Jesus one small room to live in, but kept the rest for himself. That night, this same man had a dream again. Once again in his dream, he was at home when the devil came and knocked on his door. When the man went and opened the door to his house, the devil came in and beat him up. Then the man woke from the dream. When the man woke up, he went to his knees and started praying, oh Lord Jesus, the devil came and beat me up last night. Why didn't you come and rescue me? Why didn't you help me and deliver me? I thought you would help me when I let you into my life. Then the Lord replied to the man, I only stay where I'm invited. You asked me into your life, but you only gave me one small room to live in. The devil didn't come to the room I was in. So I was not in the place where he attacked you. But if you'll invite me into your whole life, I will always deliver you. Well, the man was tired of getting beaten up by the devil, so he surrendered his entire life to Jesus. He gave Jesus every room of his house, and Jesus came and filled the whole house. That night, the man dreamed again. Once again, the devil knocked on his front door, but this time, the man didn't go to answer the door. Instead, the man called out to Jesus, "Lord, someone is knocking on the door to your house. Would you please go and answer?" And sure enough, the Lord Jesus went to answer the door. And when he opened the door, the devil fainted. Jesus beat up the devil and drove him out of the compound. And the man had peace because Jesus had filled his whole life. And so it is for you and I today. When you are inseparable from Jesus, you are invincible in Jesus. When the devil knocks, Jesus answers the door. You're an overcomer because Jesus is with you. In fact, that's why Jesus came to earth. He came to be with us. That was his goal in coming to live among us and die for us. That's why he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. Jesus did all of this so that he could be with us forever. He came so that he could put his kingdom, his power, and his presence in us. That's why the Bible says in Luke 17:21, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Jesus came to earth so that his power would become our power. He came so that his kingdom authority would be in us. In fact, that's what he wants for every one of his children. For he said in Luke 12:32, "Don't be afraid, little flock. It gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." And I'm here to declare to you today that God is delighted to give you his presence, to give you his kingdom, so that he will live in you. That's why 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says, God called you to share in his kingdom and glory. God wants to share his kingdom with you. He wants to share his glory with you. That's why I can boldly declare, Christ's victory is my victory. See, your victory is not based on your ability. Your victory is not based on your own strength or your maturity. Your victory is based on the victory of Jesus Christ. He gives you his kingdom. He gives you his power. He gives you his authority. He shares with you his glory. And you are an overcomer because Jesus is with you. That's the lesson we can learn from one of the world's most unusual sporting events, the wife carrying competition. Hey, you may never have heard of the wife carrying competition, but it's a sport that began in Finland over 100 years ago. In this sport, a man must carry a woman, preferably his wife, on his back through an obstacle course for 253 meters. They pass through dry land and obstacles and water, and the fastest couple through the course without dropping the wife wins the race. Believe it or not, wife-carrying competitions are held every year in Finland, USA, Australia, and other nations around the world. Well, what does wife-carrying have to do with my victory in Christ? Well, the fact is, in the wife-carrying competition, the wife doesn't do anything except ride on her husband's back. The husband does all the work. He has to run the race. He has to overcome the obstacles. He has to swim through the water. He has to carry the weight of his wife up and down through water and land to cross the finish line. All the woman has to do is stay on her husband's back. If she falls off and separates from him, they both lose. But as long as they stay together, when he wins, she wins. Even though the wife does nothing but hang on for a ride, she is still co-champion with her husband. He may do all the work, but when they win, she wins. When the couple wins, the wife gets the same prize as her husband does. And that's how it is with us and Jesus. Jesus does all the work, but we get the victory along with him. As long as we are inseparable from Jesus, we win the victory with him every time. As long as we stay close with Jesus, his victory is our victory. For victory is not based on what you do. It's based on what he did. And no matter what trouble you face, when Jesus carries you, he will carry you all the way through to victory. That's why our scripture text today says, Shall trouble defeat us? No. Shall hardship defeat us? No. Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword overcome us? No. None of these things can separate us from Christ. None of these troubles can separate us from God's love. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus. And you may be in hardship, but if you are in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. That's why 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome the evil ones, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world." You are an overcomer because God is for you. You're an overcomer because God is with you. And when you start to live like that, you'll come to the third truth today. You're an overcomer because God is working through you. Just say, God is working through me. Listen to how our scripture text for today ends. Romans 8:37 says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And that's really good news for all of us. For in this verse, we receive the final powerful key to victory. God is for us, God is with us, and God works through us to overcome. In other words, he makes his victory our victory and manifests triumph in our lives every day. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, friends, you're an overcomer because God gives you victory. It's not just his victory in our lives. It's his victory becoming my victory. He teaches us to win. He imparts his power and authority to us. So we not only receive his victory, we implement his victory in our lives. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of what happened to a little grandmother named Dorothy Baugh. Many years ago, when I was first doing missions work, I went to Mexico to preach the gospel with a team of fellow evangelists. We were mostly young evangelists, but God had also blessed us with a grandmother named Dorothy Baugh. She wasn't big and she wasn't strong, but she was full of faith. One day we were holding meetings in a village in Mexico when suddenly a madman stormed into the building. He was holding a sharp knife, and as he entered the building, he was shouting and threatening the gathering. People didn't know what to do, and they started to scatter and to cry out. But little Dorothy Baugh took one look at this madman with a knife, and she lifted up her hand and shouted in Spanish, "Detente en el nombre de Jesús!" which means in English, "Stop in the name of Jesus." Well, this madman didn't stop. He looked at Dorothy and he started waving his sharp knife and he started walking towards her. People were crying and shaking and scattering all about. But Dorothy put up her hand and said again, "Detente en el nombre de Jesús. Stop in the name of Jesus." The madman kept coming. He had a wild look in his eyes. The demons were talking to him. He was waving his sharp knife. People were shouting and shaking. But this little grandmother named Dorothy Baugh just held up her hand and said for the third time, "Detente en el nombre de Jesús. Stop in the name of Jesus." And suddenly, the man dropped his knife and fled from the room. The power of God arrested him. The demons in him were bound. For you see, the power didn't come from physical strength. The victory wasn't won by human might. But a grandmother overcame the enemy through Jesus when she allowed God to work through her. And the same thing is true for your life. You're an overcomer. God is for you. God is with you. And you will always overcome through Jesus when you allow Jesus to overcome through you. Your victory is not based on your strength or your ability or your human power or your position in society or your recognition or reputation or your finances. It's based on God sharing his authority with you so that his power works through you. That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy." And you have that power today. You have that authority today through Christ. And you will triumph and overcome when you let God work through you. When you stand in faith and use the name of Jesus and speak the word of God and take up the weapons of warfare God has given you, you will overcome. That's the great lesson we learn from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. Listen carefully to his words. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Listen carefully to what's happening here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus with a final word. This is the word he wanted the church to remember, his parting farewell, goodbye. After telling them all throughout this epistle of their identity in Christ, he comes to the conclusion in the final chapter and the final verses of his book. And the last thing he wants them to know is that by the power of God, they are overcomers. Yes, there's a battle. Yes, there's warfare raging around with the enemy. But Paul reassures the people of God that God has given every believer the weapons and armor we need to overcome. And he encourages God's people that all we need to do is put on the armor of God and stand in faith. God has given us the strength. Now we need to exercise ourselves and use the weapons God has given us. Friends, whether you like it or not, you are in a battle against Satan. If you are a Christian, you are at war against the devil. But the great news is you have God's power working through you. You have the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee must bow. You have the word of God, the same word that Jesus used to overcome Satan when he was tempted. You have the Holy Spirit, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have the power of prayer, the power to call down angels and drive out devils. Hallelujah. You've got the victory of Jesus, for you are an overcomer. God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, the above all God is for you. And this Almighty God is with you. He lives in you. He shares his kingdom with you. And this all-powerful God is working through you. He's working through you when you use his name. He's working through you when you sing his praise. He's working through you when you cry out to him in prayer. He's working through you when you use the weapons and the armor that he's given to every one of his children. And when you see yourself as God sees you, faith will rise in your heart. When you see that you are an overcomer, you will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You will put on your armor and resist the enemy. You will arise and overcome. You will stand at the end of the battle, for you are an overcomer. I want to pray with you right now. I want you to think about the biggest problem you face today. Think about the one thing that is your most difficult challenge and bring that problem to God as we pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, I pray for everyone watching and listening today. And I ask, oh God, that you will fill our hearts with faith as we give all of our lives to you in surrender. And we ask you to take control over every area of our life. We thank you by faith that you are for us. We thank you by faith that you are with us. And we thank you by faith that you are working through us. And right now, together in faith, we bind every work of the devil. We command you, Satan and demon powers, to be gone from the lives of everyone watching and listening. I bind every spirit of sickness. I bind every spirit of witchcraft. I bind every opposing spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command you, devil, go. Loose your hold and be gone in the name of Jesus. Flee, for the word of God says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And Father, we thank you by faith. We give you praise today, for you are the Almighty God, the everlasting God, the all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving, all-above God. You are the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega. We worship you and we praise you today. And we call upon you. We ask you to ride across the heavens and help us today. Ride across the heavens and deliver us today. Bring us peace. Bring us joy. Bring us provision. Bring us everything we need. We claim them by faith as we trust in you today. We thank you, Lord. You are for us. You are with us. And you're working through us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God richly bless you. You are an overcomer.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.